Hello, this is Wesley J. Smith, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute, and you're listening to Brave New Bioethics. Have you heard? There is a new religion spreading across the globe. It is called transhumanism. Like most religions, transhumanism has dogma, faith, and even the eschatological hope of a new promised land. Yes, salvation is nigh. Through applied science, genetic engineering, biotech, nanotech, cybertech, and every other kind of tech, we can eliminate suffering, enhance our inadequate capacities, become post-human, self-designing super beings with creative powers akin to gods, perhaps even attain immortality itself. And because transhumanism is distinctly materialistic, believers don't even have to pray. Thus wrote Simon Smith, editor-in-chief of the transhumanist online publication Better Humans Daily, quote, "Transhumanists unabashedly assert that without gods, it is up to humanity to play God, striving to achieve for humanity a total control over its physical and mental state in some way similar to that promised in supernatural beliefs," close quote. Transhumanists believe that natural humans aren't good enough, smart enough, strong enough, athletic enough, beautiful enough, or genetically diverse enough. They reject the very idea of normal, indeed, of there being any virtue at all in remaining fully human. They fervently believe that in the not-too-distant future, anyone dissatisfied with their natural condition will be able to one day visit their local redesign clinic to have themselves or their progeny remade to order, say as part human, part cyborg, a woman remade to look like a cat, a super genius, the strongest man who ever lived, or any other combination of human, animal, robot, computer, synthetic blending of genes, chromosomes, nanotechnology, or surgical alterations that their most vivid imaginations can conjure. This isn't just alarming, it is profoundly sad. Transhumanists seem motivated by an existential despair and dissatisfaction at the limitations inherent in the natural human condition. Yet paradoxically, one goal of the movement is physical immortality. Life stinks and then you die. Bummer. In this sense, transhumanism reminds me of the old borscht belt joke that goes something like this. One woman asks another how she liked the town's new restaurant. "Awful," the other woman replies. "The food is terrible, and they serve such small portions." To overcome oppressive natural limitations, the transhumanist declaration states, quote, "Transhumanists advocate the moral right for those who wish to use technology to extend their mental and physical capacities and to improve their control over their own lives. We seek personal growth beyond our current biological limitations," close quote. Sounding like something out of the movie The Matrix, they apparently seek to achieve the singularity, the term coined to describe, quote, "the moment when technologies meld and an exponentially advancing intelligence is unleashed," close quote. According to James Hughes, author of the transhumanist tract Citizen Cyborg, the world of post-humanity would include gestating fetuses out of the womb and mixing species boundaries through transgenic technologies. We shouldn't take all of this too seriously, of course. Transhumanism is mostly an intellectual game, a fantasy. The technological breakthroughs necessary to create a true post-humanity will almost surely never come. But this doesn't mean that transhumanism is benign. Far from it. One dogma of transhumanism is to dismiss human exceptionalism and the intrinsic value of human life. This could lead to a new eugenics, which is already beginning to arise. About 90% of Down syndrome babies are aborted in the United States. In Brave New Britain, late-term babies with correctable conditions such as cleft palates and club feet are being aborted, while embryos are destroyed because they exhibit a genetic propensity to adult-onset cancer. Meanwhile, many bioethicists urge that we redefine death to include a diagnosis of persistent vegetative state so that the organs of the cognitively devastated can be harvested. Transhumanists like to say that the movement cannot be stopped, that we are already on the slippery slope to the post-human future, so we might as well sit back and enjoy the ride. And it is true, we increasingly use technologies and medications intended originally for therapeutic purposes to enhance ourselves. Cosmetic surgery, for example, is a growth industry. Steroid use is rampant, and Viagra isn't just used to treat actual impotence anymore. And medical advances will continue to increase life expectancy and health in old age. But as Roseanne Adana used to say, if it's not one thing, it's another. Even if cancer is eradicated and the aging process slows, other afflictions will do the job. Just read the headlines. After 25 years, we still can't cure AIDS, antibiotics are beginning to fail, and many scientists worry about a bird flu pandemic. All of the fantasizing about living forever and morphing into post-biological units won't change the hard fact that we are born to die. Far better, then, to embrace our fully human lives than to seek in vain for a post-human future that will never come. I'm Wesley J. Smith, and that's my opinion. Thanks for listening.